What's happening, guys? Welcome to the Dynasty Warzone. And joining me tonight is not, in fact, the man of the hour and the man with the power. Jerry Sinclair took the week off to go play at a poker tournament, but I use this as a reason to hang out with one of my favorite fellow content creators. We've done this at least 3 years in a row, if not 4 years in a row, and I sometimes make a stop by their show. His name is Casey Myers, and Casey is one of the hosts of the FF Dynasty, and I would say one of the longer running Dynasty podcasts, especially on YouTube. If you've never heard of him, shame on you. But welcome back to the show, my friend, Mr. Casey Myers. What's up, Casey?
Well, it's good. Appreciate it, man. Yeah, always look forward to catching up. We usually do a one-on-one in the off season at some point. So at some point, we'll have you on through the off season here. But yeah, excited to be here, man. Things going well?
Yeah, the move to player profile. The
poker tournament.
Yeah,
know,
I mean,
I can join you. You know,
he busted on the bubble. For those dying to know, he finished 23rd out of 270. The problem is the top 20 got paid.
Where's the cash? Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, are you going to stay and play in the cash game when you're done? He was like, got a 2-hour drive home. So Jerry will be back next week. We'll be getting back into the rookies, but that's going to allow us to talk about tonight's topic. We're going to talk about the impact of free agency on this rookie class. But before we get into that, and we do have an ad to play, I want to know what's going on with the FF Dynasty. What are you and your co-hosts up to?
Oh, just working through these rookies, man. It's that time of year, just trying to get all the pieces of the puzzle together here and slowly grinding through them all. We're through pretty much all the top guys, but now we're piecing together all those, you know, late second, third round guys. And then we'll get into kind of the deeper cuts of the class. Not that I haven't watched some of those guys, and you know, just trying to put out some content, having fun, trying to really, that's really what it's all about. Just keeping trying to have fun for as long as we've been doing this and trying to do a little bit of winning along the way. We're not into beauty contests. We're into trying to win and have some fun. So that's what we're doing over here.
Yeah. You and I play in the world famous Ultimate Dynasty Podcasters League together. And looking at your roster, it's like, we're kind of two ships in the night. Like I'm going one direction. Yeah. I finished in the top four, like the last 4 years. I was lucky enough to win it once. And now I see your roster just kind of going in the opposite direction. And it looks like you guys are ready to compete. And you guys were handed a really rough team in this league and you've really turned it around. And
yeah,
we should be mixing it up.
We misplayed it probably at first because we had the running back core was pretty good, and we, instead of going tearing down right away, we tried to go right in and compete because it was the guys that we were playing against. And we were like, all right, let's see if we can rip one off. And you know, Le'Veon Bell kind of, that's how long ago, you know, Le'Veon Bell kind of, you know, went off the deep end, and I forget exactly what the makeup of that team was, but a couple of dominoes fell, and all of a sudden we were standing there like, I definitely should have just sold these pieces off and kind of made it our own thing right away. But yeah, seems like we're on the up and up. So it's a fun league.
Oh, it's a great league and one of my
shout
favorites.
Out to Izzy. Izzy's got a
he's ready.
There. Izzy's got a good roster, man.
Yeah, I'll call out the person because I know who owned his team before him. So Izzy Elkafas of the Dynasty Trade Calculator took over a team that was manned by his co-host and friend JP Hurley, and JP had left Izzy a hot one.
Yeah.
And after many years, that's another team. So looking at your guys' rosters, I'm like, I've got to get in here and I've got to get younger. I've got to make some moves. Like I said, luckily I got the one ship and I'm looking forward to it, but we're not going to waste any more time. We're going to jump into good people, bad tweets. Of course, ooh, you got a good can't not do good people, bad tweets. And, but we want to hear about the Dynasty Deluxe.
This episode is brought to you by Player Profiler, the Dynasty Deluxe package. The rankings are the best in the industry. It includes strategy mode where you can say, hey, change the rankings to be win now. Oh, change the rankings to be productive struggle. There's also a draft planner to help strategize where you should take players because the draft planner also includes ADP. There's a trade finder where we look up on My Fantasy League and we see trades that are done, including a particular player. Then there's a trade analyzer where you can plug in draft picks, players, and we assign a lifetime value to draft picks out 5 years. The best thing about our trade analyzer, it can't be gamed with volume. And there's mock draft data to see right now what's the market for player X versus player Y, including in the fall when very few mock drafts are happening. And our Dynasty Guide, the Dynasty Dominator, would cost you $10 on Amazon, but you get it for free with Dynasty Deluxe. And you get our Rookie Guide for free, a $25 value. So you get all of that for $45. So it's a great deal.
Tremendous deal, and I am writing up Drake May in the rookie guide. That's my contribution. What do you think about Drake May before we get into good people, bad tweets? You're there in South Carolina, so he's just north.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on May? Because he's my like Josh Allen, Justin Herbert of this class. Not saying they're like one-to-one linear comparisons. That's just like how much I like him.
Yeah. Pretty surprised by all the hate really of Drake May. I think he was just fine. It was a lot of fun to watch. And like you said, I think there's a lot of underrated athleticism there that he doesn't get credit for. Like people want to name all the mobile quarterbacks, and Drake May had 800 yards rushing one season, I believe.
He did indeed.
So yeah, I don't know. Seems like, I don't know. People get bored, prospect fatigue, find little things to nitpick about guys. And I think it's too long and people spend too much time. I, for one, don't dive a ton into quarterbacks because I found that it has not been very helpful to me because, dude, I didn't play quarterback. I don't know what it's supposed to look like. I watch them play the games on Saturday and then I will roll through the film one time, but I don't get as crazy with it as I do with the running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends. But, Drake May, I do really like him.
Yeah,
I think QB too.
I think he should be too, and I don't want to poo-poo Jaden Daniels, but for me, it's like the guy's 23, almost 24 years old, six years of college football, two first-round wide receivers. Not to say that he can't be good in the NFL. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that it normally is not the normal path to take 6 years to get there. And then all of a sudden, all we can see is this most recent season of excellence. And it was a great season. Obviously, he won the Heisman. I thought Michael Penix Jr. should have won the Heisman, but it was close enough that I don't have a real bitch, to be quite fair. But yeah, I don't get it. I think the assumption is that he's going to the Commanders at two. But we'll see, man. We'll see. We'll get back together after the draft and talk more about this. But I want to talk about good people, bad tweets. And this is an interesting one because this is a friend, much like Casey, and a former guest. And it's Heath Cummings from CBS Sports. Heath is a great guy. And he tweeted this last week on the day that Tony Pollard signed with the Tennessee Titans. And he said, BRB. That's be right back if you didn't know. BRB, sending some third-round rookie picks for Tajay Spears. And I'll just start. I thought this was a bad tweet because you literally are sending a third to a person who just had their heart partially ripped out, a swift kick to the Jimmy, and you're offering a third to a person who was excited and probably paid a second. Now, if he just said, hey, go out and offer a late second for Tajay Spears, we wouldn't be having this conversation. But the fact that you think you could go chuck thirds at people for Tajay Spears in light of the Tony Pollard news, I was just like, come on, man.
Yeah, I would tend to agree that would be very insulting to me. Who you know, is and was a Tony Pollard or a Tajay Spears supporter. You know, and in no world did I think that Tajay Spears wouldn't, you know, have some competition. Just didn't think they would spend that kind of cash on another guy there. So, like you said, heart ripped out and emotionally volatile at that moment. And, you know, you might have hurt your chances to trade it with me for a little bit there.
Yeah, and that was kind of my point. It was like, it's almost insulting. It's like, if you offered that other GM a second, you're offering them a refund. Hey, you paid a second last year. You held it for a year. I'll give you that second back. But a third's like, hey, not only did you hold this piece for a year, but I'm going to ask you to take a discount on it. I mean, he's not Justin Fields, but we'll get to that. We'll get to Mr. Fields. I just saw that, and I thought that was a bad tweet. But then there was a myriad, a collection of bad tweets last week. And they were all centered around Justin Herbert being traded from the Chargers. What do you think the odds of Justin Herbert not being a Charger come September? What are the odds?
It's zero for me.
Same. That's why I said it was a, that's why I said this was, it's just engagement farming. Right. First of all, he is one of the five most talented quarterbacks in the league. Has his numbers always reflected that for fantasy purpose? No, but like he's broken like Andrew Luck records for the most yards or yards per game or whatever it is. Extremely talented. And if you're Jim Harbaugh, who ironically coached Andrew Luck, if you're going to LA and you know they've got like major cap issues, you're going to have to release some guys, you're going to have to reimagine and reimage this team and how you want it, you at least go there going, hey, we got the quarterback, we got the guy. They're not trading him. And on top of that, they would take a Russell Wilson-esque dead cap number to be able to do it that they can't afford.
Right.
Their entire team would be like undrafted free agents, and they'd be trading, you know, Joey Bosa and Khalil Herbert. So I didn't get that one. I think zero sounds good, Casey.
Yeah, no, that's just nonsense. I think you hit it perfectly with saying, you know, you're taking this job with the assumption that the biggest worry and the biggest thing that could get you fired isn't something that you have to worry about, and that's your quarterback, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you got the thing. You got the thing. It's right. Like people were like, the Bears should just give the 101 for Justin Herbert. They're not trading Caleb Williams for Justin Herbert, because what you're hoping to get with Caleb Williams is you're hoping to get Justin Herbert maybe an extra 10%.
Right.
You've already got the thing. It's like, now, we'll stick with the real NFL and not fantasy, but outside of Patrick Mahomes and maybe Josh Allen, how many other quarterbacks do you want? If you were starting a franchise, you took over whatever, how many QBs are you taking before you get to Justin Herbert? Obviously, Mahomes and Allen go without saying.
Right. Yeah, I mean, potentially Burrow. If Jalen Hurts floats your boat, that's fine. I think you can make an argument there. And then we're getting real close. Maybe Lamar.
Maybe Lamar from a real football standpoint. Yeah. My only concern with Lamar, and I'm glad he played all 17 games last year and, you know, had another playoff win, but I was just glad he stayed healthy.
Sure.
And sure, I will say from a Lamar standpoint, I'm actually really glad that he got Derrick Henry, because I'm hoping that it puts a little less emphasis on him needing to rush. He's always going to be like a super awesome runner of the football, but every time he runs, there's that chance he gets hurt, because he's not built like Allen. Allen's like 6'5" and 245 pounds or something. He's a ginormous man, and that's not Lamar.
No, I think those will be good. And then if you can get Keaton Mitchell back, you get kind of a, you know, a nice
classic thunder and lightning.
Correct.
Didn't want to say it, but you got to say it. It's the rules. If you have a small running back and you have a big running back, you are content creator obligated to call them thunder and lightning.
Yeah. And then, you know, maybe CJ Stroud, you could throw in that to end that conversation. You know, I don't know if you have anybody else that you would throw in there.
No, I wouldn't put CJ Stroud there. So I am more hopefully optimistic on CJ Stroud than I have been on a sophomore quarterback in a while. I'm just not going to get over my skis and have another Baker Mayfield type experiment. I remember when Baker was a lot of services QB2 going into his sophomore year, and Baker had a good, not as good as Stroud, but he had a very good rookie year, and we got a little ahead of ourselves. But also, in fairness to those people, the quarterback landscape wasn't quite as good as it is now, where there was more than Mahomes. Because at the time, it was Mahomes 1, Baker 2. Now it's, you know, Mahomes, Allen, Lamar. And it's like, if you have Stroud in like that QB 6-8 range going into year 2, I think you're spot on. I think that's that's the comfort zone, and that's a spot where I think is good.
Yeah, I don't feel comfortable. Some people have moved him up, at least fantasy wise, to like QB 3, or like I'm a tap the brakes kind of guy, not just fly all the way up there. Let's ease into this. I think he's good. I have no problem, but I think exactly what you said is kind of how I feel and correct.
You know, last year he was in the teens. This year he's in like the mid single digits, like I said, 6 to 8 range. Next year,
that Trevor Lawrence
could be top three
spot, where Trevor Lawrence was kind of trending in that spot there, and now Trevor Lawrence is back at the, you know, back end of the two, and Stroud's up at you know, taking around where Lawrence is kind of was floating around last year.
You know, it's going to hurt my feelings when Trevor Lawrence winds up being Jared Goff with better hair. But I digress. That was good people, bad tweets. Let's hit him with a little Dana White.
Cocaine isn't cheap. It's expensive. Got to make money.
Thanks, Dana.
Yep.
First one on the soundboard. So that was good people, bad tweets. But now we're going to move into the impact of free agency on this rookie class, because this is going to be a bridge to the show next week. Our guest this coming Sunday is Nino Brown. If you don't know Nino, he is part of the Toilets to Titles family. He is their director of college something or another. I just brought it up, you know, but Nino's awesome. And he put us on last year on guys like Rashi Rice, Tank Dell. I don't want to go as far as to call him a wide receiver whisperer, but he'll be with us this coming Sunday live on the Player Profiler YouTube channel. And then, of course, podcast. But Casey, let me ask you a question. So I posted this twice, and I am getting a bad vibe on this 2024 rookie running back class. Mm-hmm. Did free agency kill any hope that you had for this 2024 class of running backs?
I mean, I don't think for me personally, not really. We sort of kind of know what this running back class is. You don't really have any huge standouts that are absolute studs. Most guys that you're seeing, at least in rookie draft, super flex, tight end, premium, if we use that as kind of the moniker, are, you know, running backs off the board anywhere from 2-1 to 2-4 is the first one typically. And it's usually Trey Benson and Brooks, Jonathan Brooks from Texas. And those guys are brought up with probably having the best chance at the best draft capital. So that makes some sense when, you know, the nerds get excited about the draft capital, and Brooks and Benson both profile as guys that could be kind of that workhorse style guy. But nobody's really jumping off the page and saying, oh my God, I gotta have that guy. What you have is a lot of, you know, guys who could run really well in a committee with Wright and Lloyd. I like Corum, but I know some people don't like Corum because he's older, you know, but Corum's probably properly priced at this point, usually back end of the second round. Yeah, he's 24, but, you know, pretty good player. And I think he could potentially have a 3-down set with him, but Benson and Brooks are typically those guys. So for me, the free agency didn't really affect me too much, because I think we kind of already knew what it was, right?
For the most part, I mean, you mentioned Corum. I like Corum quite a bit. And I know you mentioned he's 24. I am treating rookie running backs going forward like a lease car. Mm-hmm. You know, you go lease a new car for the family or work or whatever. You sign a 4-year agreement. You know, they have a limited number of miles, and then you return it, blah, blah, blah. Everybody's at least has the concept of a lease car. That's how I'm treating rookie running backs going forward. Very rarely will you see a first round. You know, the extreme talents like Bijan, like Saquon, those type of guys, they're going to still go in the first round. But most of these guys are day two, day three picks. And if I get 4 years out of them on my dynasty roster, I'm totally cool with that, because I'm going to be looking for the next one. And sometimes you have to wait a year. Like we mentioned Tajay Spears just a minute ago. Mm-hmm. Even if you get a committee workload out of him this year, next year, and the year after, That's fine. He can be your RB3 or a flex or what. There's nothing wrong with that. And I think that's where this rookie class is gonna fit in. And I agree with yours. I think the landing spots, and we'll go ahead and just jump there. Like, obviously Dallas, they just re-signed Rico Dowdle today. Mm-hmm. And who's the small guy? I'm drawing a blank on the small guy.
Deuce Vaughn.
Deuce Vaughn. Thank you. They got Deuce Vaughn. But I think that's a prime landing spot for a rookie running back, and then the Chargers.
Yeah,
I could just feels so Jim Harbaugh. I could see them trading up in the back end of the second round, because, you know, they have an early third round pick, so they could maybe move up 6-8 picks, get back into the back end of the second round. And if they get Blake Corum, to the moon. Those are my two landing spots. What about you?
Yeah, I had both those at the top, and I caught myself from saying Corum goes to the Chargers, and I think you got a good player because I didn't want to.
It's hard not to
right ahead, but you know those dots are easy to connect, and we know what Harbaugh wants to do. We know what the MO is, so of course Chargers Gus Edwards goes and goes over there and is a nice consolation prize. But Dallas and Chargers were top of the list. Raiders potentially there. Cleveland was one that was like kind of. Chubb being a little banged up and Ford being on the roster, who I think Ford's fine. Minnesota is another interesting spot. New England kind of moving into a new chapter of things. Obviously, they signed Gibson and Ramondre's there, who I like both of those guys. But Panthers, same thing, kind of moving into a new era. Even if it took a year for them to be half decent and respectable, there could be some fun spots on the running back. As far as it's a wide open in the depth chart. They've revamped that offensive line. They're bringing stuff in. Tampa Bay could be another landing spot.
Cincinnati was another one that I have. I mean, Zach Moss and Brown are not exactly a who's who of running backs,
right?
So I think that would be a good spot. But we've mentioned several of the veterans. What was your favorite veteran landing spot that you think did good for dynasty value? Like, Who landed at a spot that even as a veteran that you're like, okay, their value is either holding or maybe slightly going up?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be Barkley or Jacobs, right? I mean, that's if you've been on the value side, if you've been holding Jacobs for a minute here and not being able to get anywhere near what the market value maybe once was, all of a sudden you just got an opportunity to, get out of Barkley if you want to, or hey, I was holding him for a while and my team's come around, and now he should be very usable on an Eagles team that is just so much better, light years ahead of where he was on the Giants. And you do have some injuries that you're worried about there, but man, he was still really solid last year, and he's been solid when healthy on just a terrible, terrible roster in a terrible situation. And always been very positive about it. So gets to kind of stay in the area where he's from. And is just, he has that upper echelon, he's been a top five back. I think he can get back to being a top five back. And then Josh Jacobs, again, same thing, like a year younger than Saquon Barkley, goes to the Packers, who, kind of maybe got their AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones wrapped up into one. I think Jacobs is a really good player. Both of those guys have been on my buy list all offseason, and I think this kind of hurt my chances to buy them a little bit, but still be very interested. How about you?
Jacobs, so last week, Jerry and I hopped on with the guys, Seth and Matt from the Dynasty Roundtable here on Player Profiler, and we drafted free agents. So like the 101 was Kirk Cousins. Mm-hmm. The 102 I picked 102. I took Josh Jacobs as the second. Josh Jacobs is just that underrated, goes out. If he plays 14, 15 games, he's your RB.
He's going to be an RB 1.
He's going to be a top 10.
Right.
And like one of our patrons reached out to me the other day, he's in the middle of a startup and he was like, hey, he's doing his first super flex mock. And I'm like, look, I'm always quarterback in the first round. You got to. Second round, depending on where I'm drafting, I'm a quarterback wide receiver. Depends on what's on the board. Then round three, I take the opposite. If I went wide receiver, I go quarterback in the third, vice versa. A lot of our leagues are tight end premium. So in the fourth round, I'm looking at wide receiver or tight end. And then in the fifth round, I'm going to look the other. So I'm going to walk away first five rounds, two quarterbacks, two wide receivers, and a tight end. But yeah, then that leaves a guy like Josh Jacobs. That is the chef's kiss of the guy that you can get potentially at the top of the sixth round in a startup draft as your RB1 that's going to perform like an RB1. And finding guys like him, because he doesn't have the sizzle of a guy like Saquon Barkley who's going to go earlier. And you mentioned it, he's a year younger. I'm looking at Fantasy Pros right now because it takes a minute to log into my Player Profiler account. Josh Jacobs is their RB13. It's a steal. Yeah. That's perfect. Cool. It's perfect. I can layer those guys in there. I want to like Barkley, and I see on the surface where people would really like the Barkley landing spot. I have concerns, and I know Barkley's better than DeAndre Swift, but we saw 15 Jalen Hurts rushing touchdowns last year.
Yeah,
we saw career lows in targets and receptions for DeAndre Swift. And it wasn't like he was injured a bunch, right? He played like 14, 15 games last year.
Sure.
So it's like if he's not getting the touchdowns and his passing volume comes down, if he's just getting the yards, where do the top-end fantasy points come from? So I get it's a sexy offense. I get that it's a good offense. You want to, but remember, you got to keep A.J. Brown happy, and you got to keep Devonta Smith involved, and you got to keep – hey, listen, if you start overfeeding Barkley, you think A.J. Brown made the boo-boo face last year, just let his targets go down and see how that goes. Plus with Kellen Moore is the new offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Austin Eckler's coming off of a season where he had career low in targets. So I don't want to say it's a bad thing for Barkley, but it's definitely not my favorite.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can see it that way. I can get behind with what you're saying. I think it's a good spot to be able to sell if you want to, but I'm not really out on either one. I'll take my chances on. I think he could be, you know, a top five, top eight running back in that system. It was so bad with the Giants, but you're right though. You know, being bad and being the only guy on the team certainly can get you some volume, but I think, you know, the TD upside can be there. Maybe you protect Jalen Hurts a little bit more. What AJ Brown is most upset by is losing. Obviously he wants his, but you know, they went on that horrible stretch there. Some of that maybe from Jalen Hurts, maybe having a knee injury that kind of lingered on. Maybe you try to keep him a little less injury prone. You don't want to neuter him, kind of like you were saying with Lamar earlier. You can't take away, you know, one of his best strengths. But I think it's good that they brought in something fresh, something new, because, you know, the Eagles, not everybody just goes in, year out by losing coordinators and just bringing the next guy up. It was evident that the Eagles really missed Steichen there, you know? And so you had to try something. It seemed like everyone had kind of maybe cracked the code on the Eagles a little bit. So I think bringing in Kellen Moore, even though the last stop wasn't great, that seems like, you know, LA just chews everything up and spits it back out. Harbaugh's going to change that whole culture of kind of everything going on. Kellen Moore didn't really have that power. I like Kellen Moore as an OC though. I think Barkley, there's still some good upside there. But if you said best landing spot for their dynasty value, Barkley for the people who had been holding for a minute, I think you get an opportunity to sell here.
All right. Well, what about the ones you didn't like for the running back position? Was there like a veteran that went to a spot and you're just like, I don't see how this works?
Yeah. I mean, obviously I let off when you're talking about the Tajay Spears, the good person, bad tweet thing of, I like Spears. Those guys seem like they're sort of a little redundant to each other and they spend a lot of money on that guy. But on the flip side of that, both of those guys are guys who can be efficient with their touches. And we're going to see a completely different style of offense from Tennessee from what we saw in the last few years. So I would say Tony Pollard's probably one of my least favorite ones, but I, you know, a lot of them were old, like Eckler going to the Commanders. Swift going to Chicago. That's fine. Nothing crazy there. Derrick Henry to Baltimore. I kind of like that one. So, you know, I didn't really feel super terrible about anything. Everything seemed like it was okay, especially for the big name guys. What about you?
I'll throw Derrick Henry and Joe Mixon in the honorable mention for good spots. I think Joe Mixon, not only Joe Mixon, I like the commitment from the Texans.
Sure.
Hey, dude, we're going to, you know what? We're not going to let them trade you. We're going to, even if it's a small pick, if it's a Justin Fields-esque pick, we're still going to trade for you. And then we're going to re-up you for a couple of years. I like that level of commitment to Joe Mixon. I thought that was a nice little move. And I do like Derrick Henry. I posted this because Instagram's like a different enjoyment than Twitter. I use Twitter for like fantasy football. Sure. I tend to use Instagram for like fitness, other stuff that's not fantasy football. But I come across this video of Derrick Henry getting after it in the gym, which is not uncommon if you see Derrick Henry on the internet. Right. And I tweeted, I was like, don't bet on 30-year-old running backs, but don't bet against Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Full grown man.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't like DeAndre Swift to be real honest. I like it more now today that we know 100% for sure Justin Fields is in Pittsburgh. Yeah. I like it a lot more. I do see him being a little bit more involved in the pass game. I think people assume that this was a horrible deal for Roschon Johnson. I think Roschon Johnson is just fine. Good, you know, this was from the Dynasty Roundtable conversation. Roschon, very good pass blocker. And DeAndre Swift, not so much. And I think Roshan's going to get on there. But, yeah, I didn't love DeAndre Swift. I like the fact that it was first. That showed emphasis to get him in. But, yeah, that's the one. And it sucks because in the league I was referring to earlier, DeAndre Swift is someone I need to move.
Yeah.
Hopefully I get a window. But let's move to the wide receivers.
Sure.
Big rookie wide receiver class. How excited are you for this rookie wide receiver class?
I mean, you gotta be pretty exciting. I mean, we started talking about this on our show, but we have certainly reached the point of the offseason where everyone's telling you that this class now sucks, and that is just the tireless cycle that we go through every single year. People were telling you that last year this class sucked too at one point, and there's like 13 guys inside our top 30 in our ADP. And it's, you know, if you hit it right last year, you could have really rebuilt your team. And I feel like this year, you know, the running back class isn't nearly as sexy, but there's some good guys in there. Then the wide receiver is, there's some really good ones up at the top. Then there's some fun ones at the back end of the first. And then all through the second and third, there's a lot of really, really awesome wide receivers. So really solid depth. You know, you're not going on and chasing waterfalls and going after, you know, you can't be going after the next Puka, but there's a lot of guys who have really, really solid profiles of kind of a little bit later that you can get such good value on. So when I get to the middle end of the second, there's still, you know, great wide receivers all through the third round that I like taking shots on. And I'm sure that'll ebb and flow kind of as draft capital comes in and people get more excited or less excited with some of the landing spots and such. But, you know, pretty excited at this. You know, we don't have a consensus on the back end of this, you know, after you get to 1-8 tight end super flex premium. You don't really have a consensus, but there is three or four guys right there. And then you can make a case for another two or three, four guys back behind them wide receiver wise. So pretty exciting, man. If after the combine, I think everybody's picks, you know, went up in value a little bit. So I think pretty exciting. Fastest wide receiver class that they had at the combine ever, maybe something like that.
I mean, definitely fast. I mean, they have the all time record holder now with Xavier Worthy. So took out the incomparable John Ross III, which good for him. I will just say this, and I don't think you're always going to find the next Puka Nacua, because sometimes you get those third rounders who break out just because they're exceptional talents, like Terry McLaurin. McLaurin, like, hopefully for the first time in his career, he really gets a solid quarterback with an offensive play caller that's not afraid to throw the ball. God bless Terry McLaurin. Love TMC. But then you got to look at, like, where are these guys landing? Like Puka Nacua, it's like, should we have predicted a Puka level breakout? No, we shouldn't. We would be lying to ourselves if we should. But we're like, wait a second. What's the barrier to Puka being good? It's right. Cooper Kupp and who? Tyler Higbee?
Tutu
Atwell? I mean, so once you get past the big guys in this class, once you get past Marvin Harrison and Neighbors and Roma Dunze and even Brian Thomas Worthy, Adon, you know, Mitchell.
AD, yeah.
Yeah, you get past those guys. Just start asking yourself when you're looking for that tiebreaker, hey, who's their quarterback? Who's their offensive coordinator? And that's not always a thing, because A.J. Brown at one time went to the Tennessee Titans. And fun question for you. Do you know who was the OC when A.J. Brown broke out?
Arthur Smith.
It was Arthur Smith. So, kids, when everybody tells you in the dynasty and fantasy world that Arthur Smith is a death knell for fantasy production, go back and look at that run they had with Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, and A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
Not saying that's going to be Russell Wilson, Najee Harris, and George Pickens. I'm just saying it's going to be a whole lot better than we probably think. But back to this class, I love it. I absolutely love this class. And I think with all the hype coming around J.J. McCarthy as the fourth quarterback who could go in the top 10, that's going to put in another piece. Sure. You got Brock Bowers at tight end. You have the big three wide receivers. So now all of a sudden you're at 109. And then maybe a Xavier Worthy goes to Buffalo, or an Adonai Mitchell goes to Buffalo, or any of these guys go to Buffalo. It's like, this is great. So I think the free agency was largely a dud from the wide receiver position. The good ones either got franchise tag, right, like T. Higgins, or got re-signed like Michael Pittman Jr.
Mike Evans. Older, and, but still good.
Betting against Mike Evans is like betting against Tom Brady. You know, eventually you'll be right.
Yeah.
But you're going to be wrong a lot of years along the way before you actually get that one right. But was there a free agency move that you really liked that sparked some dynasty value?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first one for me that jumps right out is Hollywood Brown, because I've been a proponent of buying Hollywood Brown, but that one's kind of a layup. So I'll go Darnell Mooney. I thought that was a nice pickup and a little bump in value. I know a lot of people don't care about anybody but the best guys in fantasy, but I can assure you that you need other guys that can make up parts of your roster, like Darnell Mooney, who had a pretty good start to his career with the likes of Mitchell Trubisky and who was the old coach there that everybody
had? Nagy,
you know, was a highly rated wide receiver and put up some really good wide receiver numbers there in the first few years of his career. And then you kind of go on and nearly, this was a Warren Sharp stat, nearly 40% of deep targets to Darnell Mooney have been inaccurate in his career over the span. So, and the number one most inaccurate quarterback on deep targets, or the number one most accurate on deep targets, 20 yards downfield, is Mooney's new quarterback. So you went from somebody who can't complete deep ones to somebody who can complete deep shots. So, and then another stat for you is he dealt with 29% of off-target throws last year, which was the fourth highest, but was still managed to have the seventh best rack. So there's a lot of juice there. There's a lot of explosion there. Yeah, the hands every once in a while, but Mooney for me on the non-obvious answer, I think, was a big winner, can help some value, and can really help your roster out.
I'll co-sign on Mooney, because they're going to be running a derivative of the Shanahan by way of McVay offense with Zach Robinson as the OC.
100%.
And go look at the amount of pass volume that Kevin O'Connell did last year in Kansas City, which is also part of that coaching tree. So I think the volume is going to be there. And Mooney's the kind of guy that, like, especially on weeks when you're predicted to lose, he's the kind of guy I love plugging in to the wide receiver three position, because you know what? He may get me like 4 points, but you know, he may get me 24 points.
Right.
And that upside's there versus plugging in a guy like Adam Thielen or someone like that. And speaking of Adam Thielen, it's his new teammate that I really like. Now, it was a trade, but it happened during free agency week. I was stoked to see Deontay Johnson winding up in Carolina. I'm looking right now at Thielen's numbers last year in that offense. He had 137 targets.
Target monster.
And he's 33, will be 34 this year. I could see him being like a camp cut casualty.
Yeah.
Where if they end up bringing in, like, they've had Gallup in for a visit, they've had Mike Williams in for a visit, I could really see like them bringing in a Gallup or a Williams to be kind of that deep threat, boundary wide receiver, go up and get it type of guy. Cutting Adam Thielen and then force feeding all this beautiful volume to Deontay Johnson. And Deontay Johnson with a quarterback on a team he's a fairly accurate quarterback. You know, it's not been great in the pros so far, but I think Bryce Young can bounce back. I like that one. And then I want to go back to Hollywood real quick. I think Hollywood is the perfect guy to insulate the value of Rashee Rice.
Yeah. That's great point. Yeah.
Rashee Rice, that is exactly, if you're a Rashee Rice believer, and I'm going to raise my hand because I am. Wasn't. I should have listened more in depth to Nino last year. Him and John Sheps were both big on. But now I love the fact that we're talking about a guy on his third team. Super fast, brings that old school Tyreek Hill element to the team. But I think Rashee Rice, with what you saw down the stretch, if you can leverage this Hollywood Brown signing as a way to buy cheap, I am 100% on Rashee Rice. Not that Hollywood Brown couldn't be in that Darnell Mooney vein, where he's like your wide receiver three that could win you a week. But does this make you like Rice more?
So, you know, we did some buy sell hold at some point near the end of the season with him. And you know, the thought has to cross your mind of, hey, if I'm exposed through 10 out of 10 leagues, Rashi's crushing down the stretch here, should I sell him? Because there's just no way that the Chiefs were going to go into the next year's situation with what they had. You know, they're going to switch it up. Are they going to bring a splash free agent? They can spend a first round, which they still could spend also another high pick or second round pick on another wide receiver, right? You know, so it's not necessarily over, but yeah, no, I think this was best case scenario for Rice's value. I've been a big Rice guy, got a lot of Rashi Rice, had him, you know, around the 2.4-ish, 2.5-ish spot last year and just collected a bunch of Rice, but thought about maybe parceling out some. Haven't sold any, so I don't have a good sold story for you. But no, I think, you know, some people were down on it. They're like, oh, right. I was like, no, I think this is a nice match of different skill sets between the two.
Yeah, that's exactly what you're looking for. That goes back to the rookie conversation with the wide receivers. It's like similar to Puka Nacua. Mm-hmm. He does just enough different from what Cooper Kupp does to have his own value. And that's why he's held his value going forward. Now, that was a good one. I want to pivot because I got to save time at the end. We're going to wrap this show up with some Justin Fields talk. Ooh. You didn't think for one second that I was not going to talk Justin Fields. We're saving that for the very end. My only real tight end question, I was going to bore you and ask you if Mike Gesicki to the Bengals is to the moon. But really, I just while I have you on, wanted to get your thoughts on Brock Bowers. Where do you have him in your rookie rankings? Where do you see him going in rookie drafts? You can say super flex. You can say one QB. Just give the audience a little something on Brock Bowers because he's becoming that polarizing.
Yeah, I mean, when we are talking rookie rankings, what we do over at our channel is pretty much super flex tight end premium is the way we're doing rookie drafts for the most part. We'll throw one quarterback in there for the most part. But, you know, basically it comes down to whether you like Brock Bowers or Rome Odunze kind of at the 1.6, 1.7, and it's usually 1.5 premium. If we're 2-point premium, then I would shoot Brock Bowers as high as you want to shoot Brock Bowers. But I'm also a big tight end guy. I know there's a lot of people out there that are poo-poo the tight end in rookie drafts and don't like it and say buy him next year. I've never, ever seen somebody sell pennies on the dollar on a really good tight end prospect that was, you know, nobody. I could barely buy Trey McBride 2 years ago, and I love Trey McBride and was saying buy him everywhere, and he was still hard to get away from people. So I haven't found that notion to be very successful. But I'm always screaming from the mountaintops that I'll take the shots again and again and again on the tight end, because having, you can flex in tight end premium, you can flex out a tight end in that flex spot. I mean, the top like five or six tight ends were right in wide receiver 13 to 15 points per game, overall point scoring categories. Like if you get the volume and you're a good player, you're a very startable asset. So Brock Bowers to me is a top notch asset. As you know, take him wherever you want, really. If it's 2 points for sure, 1.5, probably 1.7 is about where I'm taking him. I also just do really, really, really like Rome Odunze. So for me, I'm taking Rome over him almost every time, unless we're talking 2 points. But I think Rome's just being a little disrespected, and he's every bit as good as Malik Nabers is for me personally. So what are your thoughts?
I like Bowers, and a format that I've played more in the last 2 years is must start two tight ends. If you're in a league like that, I can tell you from personal experience, if you're in one of those rare must start two tight ends and it's tight end premium, I'm good with Brock Bowers between 2 and 3. Mm-hmm. But I'm with you. I have him as 7 in this class. I have the 3 quarterbacks, obviously, sure. And I have the 3 wide receivers. And I know, and it's weird, we mentioned Drake May earlier in the show, and I think it's happened to Caleb Williams, and now it's happening to Marvin Harrison. You get this name fatigue. Mm-hmm. We've heard about Marvin Harrison for 2.5 years. Yeah. We've heard about Drake May for over 2 years, Caleb Williams for over 2 years. We're just looking to, you know, quench our thirst with something other than this. Brock Bowers seems to be impervious to this. But I'm going Rome Odunze at 6. Like if I'm on the clock at 6, yeah. But I have no problem with you taking him ahead of Malik Nabers if you just have this and like the landing spot will change part of this, because if he goes to a perceived great landing spot like the Chargers, then he'll be to the moon. I'll tell you, yeah, a low-key landing spot that I like that I've seen mocked a bunch, and I think you get a young quarterback weapons. I've seen him mocked a bunch to the Colts at 15.
Brock like Bowers?
From, yes, sir. Like oh, what, yeah. I can, yeah. What I can tell is that like the fantasy community seems to see that he's going to go like in that top 5 to 8. And then in the non-fantasy, but like the Mel Kuypers, Jeremiah's, Zerlines, etc., they have him going in that mid-teens range. And guess what? The teams in the mid-teen range, those are the ones that, well, they have that need, but they have that quarterback.
Yeah.
That's the reason why they're in the middle, is because they've got the quarterback. They probably finished around 500, and they could use another offensive piece. So if he slides a little bit down boards, I'll probably be a little bit more bullish, but we're right there. I don't have a second commercial for you guys, but I do want to mention the FFPC. You're going to be hearing a lot about the FFPC here on Player Profiler and all of our podcasts. So the promo code's Underworld. If you're looking for a place to go play a little Dynasty, I do recommend the FFPC. Good people over there. All right,
I'll vouch for FFPC. I played a lot of FFPC. When you run out of friends to play with, and that's how I found them, that they never had a league go under. That's kind of their MO. And their rakes maybe a little high, but hey, that's what you're playing to know that the league is going to be there, right? You're not worried about making a trade and saying, hey, the league's going to fall apart. And I like to play in, 250 or more leagues, and they have it, and I know it's secure. I know it's not going anywhere. They run a tight ship, a good ship over there. They could not do the rookie drafts on Mother's Day. That would be hard if you could relay those messages back to those guys. But FFPC, definitely vouch for those guys. Solid dynasty situation going on over there.
Well, much like Jerry's poker tournament this past weekend, much like in poker with the FFPC, only the winners pay the rake.
Yeah,
you understand that. Losers are going to lose the entry regardless. Only winners pay the rake. So if I'm paying the rake, I'm probably doing okay. But quarterbacks, man, a lot of spots got gobbled up in free agency. It's been wild with quarterbacks. We saw Kenny Pickett get traded. We saw Sam Howell get traded. What were some of your favorite veteran moves? We're going to save Justin Fields to the end because, that's how you keep him around.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think, a big takeaway for me is, at least for the quarterbacks, I don't know that really anybody, anything crazy happened outside of Kirk Cousins, really. That's obviously the 1-1. The rest of them are kind of but I do kind of the stuff that you mentioned. We saw a lot of quarterback injuries, right, last year, and I think you saw an emphasis on teams being able to trade some lower end picks around and get a pretty high quality backup that they can start, but they also can develop, right? You saw Sam Howell get traded over to Seattle. You saw Kenny Pickett go to the Eagles. You saw Gardner Minshew get picked up by, Sam Darnold go over to Minnesota. Do I think any of those guys are really, they think they're the long-term answer for anything? No, but they can either bridge them or they can then also develop those quarterbacks. I think that's such a underrated thing for these teams to have, where I don't think a lot of people do a great job of that. And then you can get a guy as well, like I said, in your system to develop. You saw Mac Jones get traded to the the Jaguars. I mean, just putting an emphasis on knowing we have, and you think whatever you want about Mac Jones. That's not what I'm here to discuss really, but like putting an emphasis on guys who can start and then you can develop, and paying, a cheap draft pick for, fine with that. Russell Wilson to Steelers. I thought, you said it at one point, like, Don't sleep on that offense just because Arthur Smith is in charge over there. It could be all right. So, what are your thoughts?
I really like Sam Howell, and one of my more savvy league mates, a guy named Wheeler. He's been a top ranker, listed on Fantasy Pros. Fantasy Pros tracks everybody. super sharp guy, Kevin Wheeler. And instantly, because we're in a league together where I've got Deshaun Watson, mm-hmm. and it was like Sunday morning, I get an offer of Jameis Winston for Sam Howell. Mm-hmm. 0% interest. I know what he's doing. He's like, hey, you want to insulate your Deshaun Watson? Yeah. He's your QB too. I think Sam Howell is the guy who by midseason could be the starter in Seattle. You know, Geno's 34. He's got a almost $40 million cap hit this mm-hmm. year. So it's like a negative cap. If they cut him, they go in the hole $13 million or something like that. Whereas next year, they save $25 million by cutting Geno. And they're going to be just good enough that they probably won't be in the QB mix next year. Now, this could change if they decide to get in the Michael Penix Jr., the Bo Nix. That would mix the backfield. But I think Sam Darnold, depending on what the Vikings do, like I don't think the Vikings trade up. If you look at and I'm going to butcher this guy's name, and just forgive me, I'm Southern Joe. Kwesi Adofa-Mensah. Not bad. I gave it a hell of an effort. He seems to be a very conservative fella. If you look at his transactions of trades that he's made, they've typically been down. Now, I know people are thinking they're going to look to package these picks and go up, and they very well could. Mm-hmm. I could see them waiting to see at 23, and maybe they go with a Michael Penix or a Bo Nix there. Yeah. I don't know that they want to try to – I mean – Have we not learned? You just mentioned Mac Jones, that class of 2021. I mean, think about the draft capital that was expended in that draft. Obviously, you had Trey Lance. They traded up two firsts to move up to get him.
Sure.
You had Justin Fields, who they traded up to go get. You had Mac Jones. Four of those guys are on different teams. You know, you're a Trevor Lawrence away from all those guys being somewhere different. So I just don't get trading up a ton of draft capital from Minnesota's standpoint to go get QB4. Like if you could get up to one, or you could get up to two, to where you could choose between Daniels and May, or even McCarthy, if that's your guy, I get that. I don't get trading up a ton to go up to number four to get the fourth QB off the board. That being said, I think Sam Darnold is going to start the season, and he may have some value in that Kevin O'Connell offense, but outside of the big three, I think Williams, May, and Daniels are all going to be starters in 2024. So we won't talk too much about those. Where are you at with that next group? Do you think McCarthy is worth trading up for? And then any thoughts on Penix and then Bo Nix?
So I'm not the biggest JJ guy, and it's not a negative. I don't think he's a bad player. I just don't think he's somebody that I'd be, like you said, going up and trading capital for. I think he could play. I think he's got a pretty good arm, underrated athleticism. Great. I think he can play within structure, play within a system. I mean, he was in an awesome situation last year, the best team in the nation. So I'm a big Penix guy. So when you said I thought Penix should have won the Heisman, Not a lot of people shared that same sentiment. People think Penix stinks. I think a lot of those people think Penix stinks because they saw they were exposed to the Michigan game, and that was probably about the only game they watched. Because before that game, the only game a lot of people had watched was the Sugar Bowl against Texas, and everybody's like, "Oh my God, this guy Penix is so crazy!" And then all of a sudden, it was like, "Oh yeah, when he plays a defensive line that can rotate 25 fucking guys, and a bunch of them are going to be in the NFL, and they have great corners, and the blitz is coming at them all night." Yeah, it's a little bit different of a ball game, and yeah, that's a really, really good team. I didn't think Penix was terrible throughout that whole game. I think he gets drugged too much for that game, but you know, now everybody's coming back around the pressure to sack rate is a stat that seems sticky for a lot of people, and Penix is the fucking goat at that bitch. So I watched a lot of Washington football the last 2 years because it's a little later. The kids go to bed. I can watch them, and they've been really excited. For a while, that was Oregon, you know, a few years ago. And I bet a lot on Washington, so I've been familiar with Penix's game. I don't care about his delivery. I don't care. He throws a beautiful ball. Yeah, I mean, a lot of quarterbacks that aren't the most mobile, yeah, if you get through them through the defensive line, they're going to struggle. What every Super Bowl, every time Tom Brady played, what'd they say? Bother him with pressure up the middle, right from the D-tack. Like, yeah, that's going to fucking bother a lot of quarterbacks. Like, But if you give him a second or two, and again, under pressure, you know, really, really solid. Jaden Daniels, worst under pressure to sack rate, I believe, out of this, at least the big guys. So Bo Nix, whatever, fine. I'm fine with him as well. I think all these guys end up going top in the first round, I think. I think there's too much need. I think you get into that Minnesota, Saints, Broncos, Raiders.
Broncos is the biggest, you know, one. Because of the Russ contract, they have no choice but to have a QB on a rookie deal. They're going to be playing a lot of Jarrett Stidham. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to see the those are the secret landing spots that are really good for these guys. Like, I'm not going to be deterred if McCarthy, Nix, Penix, if they wind up in spots like Denver, Las Vegas, Minnesota. I'm fine. I still believe there's a model where the Patrick Mahomes model works.
Sure.
Especially for J.J. McCarthy. It's a little bit different for Daniels and a little bit different for Penix and Nix. All these guys are 23 plus.
Yeah.
So yeah. You kind of got to see what you got to have. But like, if Minnesota were to go get J.J. McCarthy, I think it would be fine because you have Sam Darnold. Is he going to be confused for Patrick Mahomes? No, he is not. But can he be a serviceable quarterback in this offense until like Thanksgiving? And then you look around and say, are we contending? Are we not contending in the NFC North? And if you're not, maybe you give the kid a couple of games down the backstretch. It didn't hurt Lamar. Lamar set the majority of his rookie year. I don't think that Penix and Nix are going to be afforded that luxury because of their age. Obviously, if you go to New England or the Commanders, you're the day one starter. Congratulations. Here's your jersey. Go get them. But yeah, I think really wanted
to have a chance to sit the guy for at least a little bit of the season.
Who was
just
that?
Probably New England. Just,
yeah, I like Biscuits. Brissett. Yeah,
I mean, you bring in Brissett. I think Mayo seems to have an understanding, just from what I've kind of said, like heard him say, like has an understanding that maybe we're not quite there yet. Let's not ruin a quarterback by throwing him out there into this mess. We need a minute to figure this out. So I don't hate that, but I mostly agree with what you're saying there.
Yeah. But yeah, the rookie class is going to be gold. And like I said, some of these guys are going to impact the back part of that first round in Superflex tight end premium drafts.
For sure.
You're like, where do you go at 108, 109? It's like, if J.J. McCarthy is quarterbacking for Sean Payton.
Yeah.
You know, Marvin Mims and Cortland Sutton aren't the best wide receiver duo in the league, but they're fine. They're totally fine for a rookie. I mean, it's not like Denver's going to win the West anyway.
Sure.
I mean, Patrick Mahomes is there. The Raiders, I live in Indianapolis. I sat and watched firsthand how Gardner Minshew operated this offense. They were one game away from going to the playoffs.
Yeah.
These guys sitting for a year and blowing up are going to be fine, but there's a guy that at least to start the year is probably going to be a backup, and people aren't too happy about it. His name's Justin Fields. Now, this is my buddy. This is my pal, but you are the guest. What were your thoughts Saturday night, probably having a nice dinner with your family, your beautiful children, and all of a sudden you get the Shefty news that Justin Fields is going to the Pittsburgh Steelers for a conditional 2025 sixth, which actually equates to a 24 seventh. But what were your thoughts when you saw that trade go down?
I mean, I thought it might be to the Eagles. I thought that was maybe where he was going to go, just as a, you know, as this fourth to sixth round pick. I think these people who thought anywhere that one, two, or even three were delusional of what you thought. Like, the NFL is telling you already that this is, hey, you know, we're, and first of all, I also think the fantasy mindset has really misconstrued a lot of people of how, like, how often do you see like big time, like DeForest Buckner for, you know, going for a first round pick, you know, but that's a ridiculous guy at the peak of his performance who is a bona fide game changer. Where, you know, but that doesn't happen a lot. It's usually fourths and fifths that you see get traded around for decent players, right? So that was delusional. But I think Pittsburgh's a good spot for him. You know, I had my fantasy take on Justin Fields is if he plays, he scores a lot of fantasy points. My real life take was hey, you get moved once, you go to another spot. If this doesn't go super well and you're onto your third spot, now we don't know if we have a starter anymore. Like, you're going to have to get an injury and battle back into being a starter. And that's kind of been my position on him for the last year and a half. And now that we're here, and, you know, nothing against Justin Fields. Like I said, when he's on fantasy points wise, he's awesome. But when you watch him play, he makes some easy things look kind of hard. Now, did they surround him with the best talent right off the rip? No, but that's kind of how this goes a little bit. But I think this can be good. Hey, go over to Pittsburgh. Hopefully at least sit for a good chunk of this year. Sit behind Russell Wilson. Move on from Russell Wilson. Get used to what Arthur Smith is doing. You and Arthur Smith can buddy up and have an audition here for 1 year to take Pittsburgh. It's a great move by Pittsburgh on both accounts with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields to be here. This is outstanding. So I don't think you are going to see Justin Fields right away. I think you're probably going to see, you know, Danger Russ, who, you know, take that for what it is. But you alluded to it earlier. We did a buy low show and somebody got mad in the comments that I said, I'm kind of buying low on the whole Steelers offense a little bit because nobody wants anything to do with them. And you're just mad. Like, and then he was like, you're telling me to buy into Arthur Smith and the Pitts. Yeah, that I'm telling you for that comment. That's exactly why I'm telling you to buy low, because you're just so, your judgment's so clouded because Arthur Smith ruined your fantasy season last year with Bijan and the Falcons, that you don't think he can run an offense when, you know, he can. And it'll be interesting to see what happens here. But Pittsburgh has a lot of parts and pieces and tools that fit, you know, right along with what Arthur Smith kind of wants to do. So I don't know. I'm excited to hear what you have to say about Fields, because I know,
yeah,
if you're feeling froggy, it'll be fun.
Well, it will be fun. I want to share a quote that I heard from Mark Schlereth earlier, and he said the NFL is a production business, not a potential business. And in fantasy, the reason why that stuck with me is that in fantasy, we tend to get that backwards. In fantasy, we're about the potential business and not about the production. Because I'll be dead honest with you, we mentioned Mike Evans earlier in the show. If we were about production, if we were about scoring fantasy points, if that's really what fantasy, especially Dynasty, was about, we would hold Mike Evans in a higher regard. Mm-hmm. We would hold Kirk Cousins in a higher regard. You know, Danger Russ, at the time of his benching, he was like QB10.
Yeah.
QB10, a guy you can literally get for QB3 prices in a super flex, is a guy who, in an offense that, like, he didn't look great, was able to put up QB1 numbers consistently through the year. So he was not killing you at any point of the year. My move, it was one of my most, because I'm not like the engagement guy. Like, I'm not posting the weird Justin Herbert's going to get traded tweets to, I'm not certified. I'm not trying to make dozens of dollars with my Twitter game, but it actually got a ton of engagement. And it was, I am the anti Justin Fields guy. My move with Justin Fields is to do nothing. If I have him, I'm doing nothing. If I don't have him, I'm doing nothing. I want to get through camp. And I want to go into week one, like literally that beautiful September weekend. We're going into week one. Russell Wilson's the starter. That's when I'm going to the Justin Fields owner, and I'm trying to get Justin Fields then. You know, maybe that owner's dejected. Hey, Russ is going to be the starter. Maybe I can flip them a Sam Darnold or a Gardner Minshew, and I can get Justin Fields. Then, inevitably, I think at some point Rush gets benched. I think Russ gets benched. I think Tomlin takes this never having a losing season thing to heart. And part of the reason why I think there was a smaller market for Justin Fields is no head coach wants to answer the question after a 2-game losing streak. Hey, coach, have you thought about going to Justin yet?
Sure.
So it's a Colin Cowherd take. Colin Cowherd was like, you don't want a celebrity backup quarterback. It's why Cam Newton doesn't really get a gig. It was the issue that, on top of the other issues that Colin Kaepernick had, when your backup quarterback's a celebrity, it's a bad thing. But I do believe, to your point, because if he, and the conditional is based around 50% of the snaps. Mm-hmm. I see somewhere around week 8, week 9 is when they pivot. Now, injury could force that sooner. But if I can get him as Pittsburgh's backup week 1, whatever that costs me, if it's reasonable, mm-hmm. then I hold him. It's like a short flip, right? I hold him long enough for him to get named the starter. the hive is back, baby. The Justin Fields hive is back, and I can go out and I can cash out then. So I'm looking to do a short sale on Justin Fields, because your point was very well said. If he does not excel, because he's going to be a free agent in the offseason. He's going to be a free agent. So next year he's going to get to pick where he goes. And this is going to be, you know, he's one of, and the reason why I'm so off Justin Fields is the same reason why I treat all these rookies this way, is Sam Darnold broke me.
Yeah.
he broke me like a wild horse. You know, yeah. Like, it's like you root so hard for these guys because you just see something in them. That's not our job. Our job is to help these people pick winners for their dynasty team. And as dynasty gamers, it's our job to win. And that's why I'm not anti Justin Fields, but I'm just anti falling in love with a player and ignoring what the market is telling us. I'm rooting for the young man. I've said this 100 times. It's never been personal about Justin Fields. I hope he kills it. I really do. I hope he has a Geno Smith career arc. But yeah. I think or a Baker Mayfield type career arc, where maybe he has to bounce around from Pittsburgh to another team next year, and then eventually he winds up in a situation like Baker did, where he can thrive. And I'll be very fascinated to see. I think Arthur Smith, again, we've brought this up several times. I think Arthur Smith with Justin Fields and Warren and Harris and Pickens, and I'm sure the Steelers
add a wide receiver. Yeah,
they do a great job drafting second round wide receivers. So I totally expect that to happen. I would be very interested, because part of the problem for Justin Fields is he had a defensive minded head coach, which Tomlin is, but I never thought they had the right offensive coordinator for him. So I'm not going to, you know, sit here and say I told you so, even though I did. I predicted it back in July. I said that he would not progress as a passer and he wouldn't be a Bear in 2024. Nothing against the kid. He everything I've ever seen about it seems to be he's a tremendous young man and clearly got a magnetism about him. His teammates love him. His fans love him.
Sure.
And I'm rooting for him. Because if someone says, hey, who's better for Dynasty going into 2025? Is it Russell Wilson being good or Justin Fields being good? Guys, the business is better if Justin Fields is good. Sure. So I want him to be good. So those were my thoughts on Mr. Fields.
Yeah, I would add at least one thing. Like, I could see this being kind of Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love at the end of that, where they you could get the fifth year on Fields, right? And they don't have to let him go. But
they have May, I think.
You potentially give him an extension that's sort of like that Jordan Love extension, where you're not paying him a ton, but you're keeping him around just to see if you can get him out there on that next year and let him really flourish there and really have something here or not. So I could see that as a potential where they don't let him test the market. They say, hey, you stick with us. Tomlin's that kind of guy. I feel like he can get Fields to buy in and say, hey, we're going to offer you this contract. You stick around with us for one more year. You know, we could potentially see you being the starter. Maybe they're back in the top contention for drafting a wide or a quarterback in the following year. But I kind of could see that kind of what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of
career arc.
Yeah, career arc kind of playing out here. And I'm not saying that he's going to come in and be what Jordan Love was, but just the opportunity to not leave somewhere else and stay there, get paid a little bit to stick around.
It's a great spot. And if he does, for as much as we make fun of Russ, you think that might be the most made fun of team in the NFL with Russell Wilson and Arthur Smith. There's two guys that the Twitter community has taken to task over the last couple of years. It's that combination. But Russ is a 13-year vet, a great guy to sit behind for a year. Justin Fields is still extremely young. I will check real quick.
What veteran has he ever been, you know, around?
Didn't they have Andy Dalton, who plays like the complete opposite? I'm pretty sure that they actually started Andy Dalton over him as a rookie. I feel like that's
right. You know what? I think you're right.
So Justin Fields is 25 years old. Justin Fields is 15 months older than Michael Penix. Mm-hmm. He's just a shade under 2 years older than Jaden Daniels. He's less than a year older than Bo Nix. He's 25.
Yeah.
There's more than enough time for him to make adjustments to his mechanics because he's got a longer throwing motion. And that's why I'll be buying. But you can't buy now because whoever has Justin Fields in your dynasty league is clearly a believer. Mm. But training camp is 4+ months away. Let's see if they're still believing in late July, early August. And then that's the time to swoop in. And then again, you can just hold, let him get a starter's job, and the hive will be back. We're seeing it right now with Kyle Pitts, right?
I think that's it. I was gonna circle back and say I think that was a really good thing to hit on, is which we talk about a lot, is when the court of public opinion on value of guys can really keep a value super strong, and Fields has that. So I think you hit it right on the head with kind of the short of those things. If that, you know, I think that's not a terrible way to play that, because there is certainly a hive or the court of public opinion stays strong on Fields. There's so much conviction on the certain side of now the haters also tell you that Justin Fields stinks, which I'm neither here nor there, whatever. But there's enough of a Fields contingency in the plus category to be able to kind of execute what you're saying there. I think that's a really good strategy.
And I will say this, and whether it's Brock Bowers, whether it's Kyle Pitts, whether it's Justin Fields, regardless, there's going to be 2, 3, 4 rookies in this class that no matter what they do, they're going to maintain value. If I had to say two right now, because they're the easiest two, and it may be a lazy take, but I think it's Marvin Harrison Jr. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be Caleb Williams.
Sure.
Because of the resume and the pedigree they come into the league with. They came out of two big schools, Ohio State, USC. They're always going to get that indifference. It's like if people are always, I guess a better way to say it is that people are always going to assume the best case scenario will happen for that kind of a guy. So that's always a bit of a tiebreaker for me too. It's like, hey, like DeAndre Swift's another guy. He just maintains his value, not necessarily based off the fantasy points he gives you, but based off of his name is part of his value.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good one.
Well, that is the last one I got, man. What's going on this week at the FF Dynasty? I will say, check out their YouTube channel, because if you've never seen their logo, and this is nothing against the Dynasty Warzone. Shout out to Maddie Big Chest who did the new Dynasty Warzone logo in the vein of G.I. Joe. Nothing against Player Profiler, Roto Underworld, and the eyes and the P logo. But I will say the neon arrow of the FF Dynasty could be the 101 of logos for Dynasty Podcast. Well, the colors, the logo, it's great. I think they should head to your YouTube channel and check it out.
Please do. We're climbing over there. So we've put an emphasis on YouTube the last 2 years and you know, working out. So you can go over there, you can catch us any of your podcasts of choice. And come over and give us a chance. Check us out. We do a lot of rookie stuff, but we also try to keep it balanced on going back and forth to just your standard dynasty values. We have our own ADP. We're always tracking and comparing. And then we also go live like every other week and do a startup dynasty mock. So that'd be also a reason to sub to the channel. So come check us out.
Yeah, I've got it pulled up right now. I am a subscriber. I love the dynasty. Like,
you guys saw Player Profiler subscribed, so that was exciting.
Hey, Player Profiler, you gotta love that. Supporting fellow content creators. I will say, Jerry and I we're either going into our 7th year or whatever. We've been doing this forever. You guys are one of the podcasts that were around before us.
Yeah, we've been a podcast on and off for a good
You bit. Guys have a myriad of hosts, whether it's Big Co. Yeah. Or Jay Wayne.
It's basically down to just me at this point. With we got Big D, who I think was in the chat earlier.
I did Austin see Big
Abbott,
D,
who is a Player Profiler guy. He does some stuff for you guys, Austin Abbott. He does some Player Profiler stuff, and
Austin's great. Austin's started doing some stuff with us this year, I believe.
Yeah,
I see him around the chat, but yeah, I bring you on for selfish reasons because I just like hanging out with you.
I appreciate it.
You have a common sense approach to dynasty. Yeah. We were talking before we hit the record button about being competitive and a competitor, and that's something that you and I share. I've never been the big productive, and I'm not productive struggle, excuse me, but the living life and an eternal rebuild. Yeah. You are a good dynasty gamer and a great guy. So, man, I want to thank you for coming on. We'll get you back on again.
Yeah.
Always. Please subscribe to their channel at the FF Dynasty on Twitter and on YouTube. It's the freest way to help them. You guys got a Patreon?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. You got one of those.
Yeah. We got a $5 holler. It's like I said, a lot of good stuff going on over there. Always mocking, rankings, ADP, all kinds of good stuff.
There you go. And then, patreon.com/dynasty warzone. You'll find both. We, never called it the $5 holler, although I'm familiar. you can check that out. We do bonus content with, here at the show, but on behalf of my buddy, Casey, I am Memphis. We'll be back here next week with Nino Brown from Toilets to Titles. We'll be talking rookies, particularly wide receivers, and Jerry should be back. So that's a reason to tune in. Sure. Casey, man, have a great night. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks, man. It was wonderful.
Hey, I want to thank you for being part of this broadcast. If you have any thoughts on it, leave a comment. If you enjoyed it, make sure you leave a like. And if you want to see more shows on the Player Profiler channel, subscribe to it. That's how we know you want more.
When we add up all those inches, that's gonna make the fucking difference between winning and losing.
We won a game yesterday. And if we win one today, that's two in a row. We win one tomorrow, that's called a winning streak.